You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Gearing up for another night of NBA playoff basketball, and I'll tell you, the first round series, if you haven't been paying attention, they've actually been wildly entertaining, and I think the most entertaining series is going to resume tonight. Big Game 3, Detroit on the road taking on Orlando. The Magic with a chance to go up 3-1 in that 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference. We also get OKC and Phoenix, and we get the Denver Nuggets fighting for their playoff lives at Bull Arena tonight. We're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about the matchups right around the corner tomorrow and possibly, well, no, we're going to get some on Wednesday as well. So we can talk about the NBA playoff schedule in general. Joining us right now over the phone, we have James Hollis, our NBA analyst. James, it's great to get you back on as we hit a pretty crucial point in the first round of the NBA playoffs. A lot of things starting to become clear.
All crucial depends on, your perspective. As a Celtics fan, nothing's crucial, man. My feet are up in the Bahamas. I'm just chilling right now. So, a lot of interesting things going on in the playoffs so far. So let's dive in.
All right, let's talk about tonight's game. We get Detroit and Orlando, 6 o'clock. I think it's fascinating. This was one of those series going into it. I thought Orlando could get this to 6. I didn't think they would get it to 7. I also didn't anticipate Orlando holding a 2-1 lead going into Game 4. Detroit is in a little bit of trouble, I believe, in this series because Orlando is playing a little bit more like the team that I thought they would at the beginning of the season. You and I have talked about this time and time again. They were the most disappointing team over the course of the regular season. But when you take a look at the way they have played in the playoffs, yeah, this is a little bit more like it.
It's really insane. I can't remember a team hitting a switch like this other than, I guess if you want to say, the bubble Heat team, right, that went from 8th seed to finals, where they scuffled all year and they looked very underwhelming. And even, in the first play-in game, right, and they were dead in the water. To see them pushing the prohibitive number one seed the way that they are, it's been fascinating. I've never seen anything quite like it, but it's not how you play in January, December. It's how you play in the playoffs, and they might have just found the right formula at the right time.
Well, and there's still a long way to go in this series, right? I mean, it's far from over, but if Orlando gets a win tonight, are you going to write Detroit off?
You kind of have to, right? We know that the odds of coming back from 3-1 are extremely low in any round. You don't write them off, right? Because things happen in the league. But a lot we have to ask some questions. We do know a lot of things in the playoffs are about matchups, and maybe this is just a terrible matchup. Wendell Carter and Batata, maybe they just have the size and the bulk to kind of negate Jalen Duran. So it's been fascinating because that's been the key, right? Jalen Duran has been absolutely a zero this series. He's actually been a negative this series after being at an all NBA level all season. So things just happen in the playoffs. Maybe just a horrible matchup for the Pistons.
I don't think we have to spend a ton of time talking about OKC and Phoenix. That should be over tonight. But what about this Minnesota-Denver series? And I'll be the first to say that I'm kind of floored at the way things have played out here. Based off of the fact that I thought Denver would be the only true challenge for OKC coming out of the Western Conference. Maybe it's as simple as saying, look, no one's going to challenge this team outside of San Antonio. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't know if you can now predict the series with the injuries, if it's Anthony Edwards, if it's DiVincenzo, if it's the Joker kind of losing his head at the end of Game 4. This has been just a wild, wild series, and Minnesota can end it tonight.
This series has had more twists and turns than an M. Night that movie.
Yeah.
We thought that, me and you spoke about this before. The Nuggets were maybe a half step behind the Thunder as favorites to win it all, as super like a powerhouse team in the playoffs. The Timberwolves are kind of scuffles, right? But we know that they bring that playoff grit, but, I didn't think they were quite in the same weight class as the Nuggets and the Thunder. And we had a guy from the Timberwolves, Jade McDaniels, really speak up and call out Nuggets by name about just not being able to guard. And then the Timberwolves have stepped up and they proved it. They backed up their talk, and they're a game away from eliminating. They were a game away from eliminating the Nuggets. Now, the injury to Anthony to Anthony and to DiVincenzo really changed things for the Nuggets, but they might just not have the firepower now. I mean, I'm sorry, for the Timberwolves, but they might just not have the firepower now where the Nuggets might back into the second round, right? Kind of just they win by default almost. If the Timberwolves can pull this off, though, it'd be one of the most stunning upsets I've seen in the playoffs ever.
You only have to get one. Right, and I think that's the way I'm looking at this right now for Minnesota. I still think Denver comes out of the series. Maybe I'm foolish for saying that, but now all you have to get is one, right? And I think that's where the Detroit and the Orlando series kind of shifts for me. If, you know, if Orlando finds a way to get a win, even though a team may be better, all you have to do is get one. And in the NBA, weird things tend to happen, right? It's tough to beat a decent team three consecutive games. That's where Denver is really, really in trouble. And they've lost the last three games, and there's no question that they're in the Joker's head. I can't think of any other time over the course of his career where he looked that frustrated after game four.
Yeah, that's the real fascinating part, that the Joker's always been very cool and calm on the court. And no matter what defense, no matter who's defending him, we've seen he's been almost scheme-proof, right? Double teams, triple teams. He will slice and dissect with passes, crazy shots. He's basically unstoppable offensively, and now he looks very, very mortal. And the fact, like you said, he looked kind of passive all of that game, didn't seem very energized for that game until the end with that silly unspoken rule thing with Jaden McDaniels came up, and now he wants to fight, which is like ridiculous because they've been embarrassing you all game, and this is what upsets you. So, it's such a fascinating thing because, like you just said, Joker has been basically untouchable his whole career because he's played at such a high level. As he developed until he became the guy he is, and then three MVPs, and even when his team loses in the playoffs, his numbers are normally sparkling. This is the first time we've seen him really struggle for an extended period of time when it really counts. So, it's, you know, he has a championship, he has MVPs, but obviously this will be part of his legacy if he can't pull it out.
We've also seen superstars play pissed off in the postseason, and it typically works out quite well for them. I think he's pissed off. And I think that's why this is Can't Miss Basketball tonight. We're talking about him being a generational player because he is, right? We've talked about him doing things that we've never seen before because he has. But to see him play angry in a game where Denver's season is going to be on the line, I can't wait for this game tonight, James. I'm just being honest. I can't wait to watch this. I'm fascinated by it.
I agree, but it also says something that it took that to get him angry enough.
Yeah.
When your team is about to go down 3-1.
Correct. Yeah.
At the other side of it, though, again, losing your starting backcourt like the Timberwolves just did with Anthony Edwards and now Dante DiVincenzo being out, that might just be too much because now you're going to be depending on. Kudos to Ayo Dosunmu for the huge game off the bench, 43 points. But can he do it again? Because that's not who he's been. Mike Conley, is he going to keep producing at this age, at this stage of career? That's a lot to ask, right? So in the moment, the adrenaline pumping, that game was one thing. Can the Timberwolves muster enough offense with the guys they have left? Because Dante's been amazing. Anthony Edwards hasn't been like super duper star, but he's still Anthony Edwards, and now he's gone. So having two guys like that gone makes such a difference. This will be a fascinating, almost like, what is it, a movable object and an invisible force. This is a very movable object versus a very resistible force. Who comes out on top?
Again, James Ulis joining us right now as we talk NBA playoff basketball. Those are the three games tonight. Let's shift over to tomorrow. I agree with you on Boston. That series should come to an end tomorrow night. Boston up 3-1. We also get San Antonio and Portland tomorrow night. Right now, the Spurs up 3-1. That should be the end of that. But sandwiched in between those two games tomorrow night, we get the Knicks and the Hawks. The Knicks have home court advantage yet again. I know there's rumblings that Mike Brown probably will not be back next year as New York's head coach. I don't know what in the world is going on with the New York Knicks. I don't know what to think about the New York Knicks. I think they get out of this series, but this is a dogfight, and you called this going into the series. You thought that the Hawks would be there to contend and they would push this series. It's a three-game set at this particular time, and there's obviously some problems brewing in New York.
You know what's funny? This is we're going to look back, and this might be one of the best first rounds we've ever seen because other than the Thunder, and maybe, the Celtics kind of, not the same way the Thunder. Thunder should just ramshackle the Suns. But all these series have been so competitive. And Yeah, Atlanta, basically the brand new team, right? This is a team that no one's ever seen until, you know, late February when they made the trade, the Trae Young trade, right? So they're a brand new team that there's not a lot of scout on. CJ McCollum, as we know, I don't think he's ever been an all-star, but he's one of those players that's, you know, kind of all-star caliber at his best, and he's been at his best a lot of times against the Knicks. We know the Knicks have been up and down all season. So, sure. On paper is one thing, but you got to step on the court and play. And I'm really impressed by the Hawks. I'm really impressed by they're not scared of Brunson. They're not scared of Karl-Anthony Towns, who also seems to have his own identity issues right now on the court. So this series is the Knicks should win, but it's a toss-up.
The other series that has become kind of a toss-up, I picked Cleveland to knock off Toronto to knock off Cleveland in the first round. And after games 1 and 2, I sat here and I thought, man, that was a really, really bad prediction. Right now, this looks like Toronto has no answer for Cleveland. Then it shifts venues. Then we go to Toronto. And all of a sudden, we're sitting at a 2-2 series where, you know, the old saying, the series really never begins until the road team gets a win. Well, we're going into game 5 and the road team is yet to win. All of a sudden, I'm starting to think that Toronto's coming around the corner once again. This is a series I have no idea what's going to happen. I really don't.
I don't either, because talent-wise on paper, again, such an entertaining first round. Cleveland should be just absolutely cracking them. I thought that the Raptors being without their starting point guard would be the death of them, and it would be a pretty short series. This is another example of maybe the Cavaliers are missing. You know, they need to go with Dorothy and find the Wizard of Oz, because they're missing heart. Because Scotty Barnes is kind of just bullying his way and pushing them around. The physicality of the Raptors is really getting to the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's such an elementary thing, but it's going around. And we're talking about how this is simple. The Raptors are top-locking Donovan Mitchell and James Harden, and they seem clueless about how to handle it. And for a team that's supposed to have championship aspirations and they made a trade for a desperation trade for James Harden, it's looking like they rolled snake eyes on that move. And they don't come out of this series. There have to be some big changes in Cleveland.
I think the most fascinating thing for me going back to Game 4 was just how inefficient Brandon Ingram was. He was not good in that game. I think he was 6 of 25 or something like that from the field. And Toronto still found a way to get a win. I'm not into prop betting. We don't talk about that a whole lot here on the show. But if you were going to tell me that Brandon Ingram was going to be that inefficient offensively, I wouldn't have a pathway to a victory for Toronto. Yet they still found a way to get a win. They hold Cleveland to 89 points. Nobody had that on their bingo card. No one.
No one. And then Donovan Mitchell just flubbing down the stretch with the 8-second violation and that terrible last shot attempt. This is just fascinating. You know, styles make fights, and right now the Raptors are just basically bullying and physically imposing themselves on the Cavaliers, while the Cavaliers in that high-octane backcourt just seem to be maybe... I know Donovan Mitchell has been a playoff riser at points, right? But, I mean, this is where his reputation should be. This is where you cement yourself as a playoff legend, and he's flaming out a little bit. So, fascinating things going on in Cleveland ever since last year when they made the trade for DeAndre Hunter, and it's been kind of like maybe crumbling ever since. So, I'm really curious to see what happens offseason with that team.
Let's move over to the Lakers-Rockets. L.A. had a chance to close this series out last night. They couldn't do it. Houston bounces back in a big way. Theoretically speaking, the series should be tied 2-2. The Lakers find a way to eke out a win in Game 3, in which Houston just completely fell to pieces in the final 30 seconds. 3-1, very difficult to come back from. 3-0, impossible, right? Nobody has done it. So, yeah, we got to call it kind of impossible at this point. It'll shift back to L.A. on Wednesday night. Do the Lakers close it out that night, or does this get back to Houston?
You know what? A little bit like Groundhog Day. Last year against the Warriors, the Rockets had the same questions. So many what-ifs. If things that went better early in the series, how does it end? Same thing with this one. There's no way they should have been down 3-0. And we see that they do have the horses and the athleticism to kind of bottle up these Lakers as they just did last night. How you got to this point is the question, and the Rockets have a lot of questions after this offseason also. We know the Lakers have a flawed roster right now, down Luka, down Austin Reeves, and LeBron just with a bunch of, like a ragtag bunch of like Robin Hood and his merry men. And they're making it happen against, you know, another team that has questions about their guts in the Rockets. So I'm less confident in the Lakers pulling it off, because I'm hoping I like a good long series. I'm hoping the Rockets youngsters got a little dose of confidence and proof of concept. Hey, we can beat these guys if we really push our athleticism and we really pressure them up and down the court. So I'm hoping that the series is extended a little bit and they put a little more heat on the Lakers.
For me, it's all about Austin Reeves at this point, right? Is he going to come back? Is he going to play? I think you have the same questions with Kevin Durant over with the Rockets, although the story that started circulating, and it's wild that we have these kind of stories in the NBA in the playoffs, but it's because it's an agent-driven league. Let's just be honest. Have we seen Kevin Durant play his last game for Houston? That's actually a story that is being talked about. Without Kevin Durant on Wednesday night, the Lakers will close the series out in L.A.
We'll bet a soda on it. I'm going to push back just because this has been such an unexpected postseason. LeBron James has looked great and energized, but does that adrenaline sort of start wearing off? And again, the more data you collect on a team, the easier to count what they're doing. We're going into game five, and, you know, I think, again, proof of concept. The Rockets might have gleaned a couple things that helped them moving forward. So I want the series to go longer. I'm going to push back. I'm going to say the Rockets are going to push it, extend it one more.
Can we say this? Had Houston been proactive and went out and got a point guard, they're probably up in this series right now. I mean, seriously.
I'm going to say this. If Houston had been proactive and got a point guard, a competent backup-level guy just to hold down the fort, they wouldn't have been in this situation. They would have been a higher seed. They'd have been better all year. They would have took less wear and tear on some of their other guys, and they'd just be a more organized team, and they wouldn't have been what is this? This is – what matchup is this?
4-5.
4-5, they've been fighting for that 3-seed or 2-seed. So 100%, I've been beating that drum all year, and it's just absolute franchise malfeasance to not give a team like this at least a fighting chance.
Let's end with this, James. As far as storylines are concerned in the NBA, there's always a lot of them, especially at this time of the year, popping up. What is the one thing that you can't wait to see what happens next as far as the playoffs are concerned?
Basically, the Orlando Magic series, and then the Cavaliers series, and the Nuggets series. I think the theme of this playoffs is unpredictability, right? It's like a switch has collectively been hit for a lot of these teams, and I am shocked by some of the outcomes of what we're seeing, right? So the Celtics fan of me obviously can't wait for the Sixers to be eliminated. But, I really want to see what happens with these. Some of these teams are big money, and these teams have been invested. These aren't just young teams. A decision will have to be made if they flame out in the first round. So I'm going to say the Detroit-Orlando series. I'm really, really focused on that because, you know, number one seed. All the talk, they felt disrespected by everybody picking the Knicks and the Celtics. And the Magic looked like they were on life support, you know, and there are questions to be made about Banchero this offseason. And now they might get toppled by the 8 seed. So absolutely fascinating stuff in these year's playoffs.
He's James Holas, kind enough to join us every Monday as we get to talk some NBA basketball again tonight. 3 playoff games on tap, and I can't wait. I can't wait to go home and watch basketball tonight. We get the Pistons Magic at 6. We get the Thunder Suns at 7:30, and then the Nuggets fighting for their playoff lives at 8:30. James, before I let you go, let's talk about where we can find more of you.
I'm still calling it Twitter, in honor of Scottie Pippen, at Snotty Drippin, also on all over social media, but that's my main thing where I talk basketball and life and retweet silly memes. So, this is one of the first years where I'm more interested in every other series than my own team series. I'm a Celtics fan. So fantastic. Come on over. Let's talk some hoops.
Always a pleasure, James. Can't wait to do it again next week.
You're the man, brother. Thanks for having me on.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Tomorrow, we're going to get some Carbon Emery Baseball. Looking forward to that, not once but twice this week. So we'll be back at it on Wednesday. We'll be able to recap the entire NFL draft, some of the head-scratching moments, and some of the teams that knocked it out of the park. That'll be here on Wednesday. Until then, be safe. I am out.